nerds and geeks back at it again. We had to do it because it's a fast weekend.
Yes.
The family is here. That is right. It is all about family. Yours truly, King Nerdivus and Twala Sharp in the building. I see Anthony from two cubicles down.
Oh, hello, everybody. Hello, family.
Ryan Twitch Master McBain.
You're going to make me hate family.
Dr. Liz from the freeway.
Hi, everyone.
And Thomas Talking Cunningham.
I am family.
It's all about the family. Look, I'm going to start this off by saying that there is nothing that happens in Fast 10 that has not happened in every Fast film ever. The films have gotten more and more ridiculous by leaps and bounds, not even by small measures, by leaps and bounds. They take the levels of impossibility to new heights. If you go into a Fast film and say, that's ridiculous or that can't happen, you are in the wrong film, because that is the pretense of this whole thing. If after watching Fast 9 and they literally outfit a Pontiac Fiero for suborbital survival and make spacesuits themselves, the Fast crew, they made these spacesuits. They didn't go and steal spacesuits. They made spacesuits. And literally at one point, they started using duct tape. And two individuals from the hood with no space training whatsoever. They don't even know where NASA is.
Captain.
They literally did a spacewalk and were able to fix a satellite that was doing evil satellite things. And then they came back. Or no, actually, they did a moonwalk over to a space station. Okay. One guy from the hood in Miami, another guy from the hood in LA. If after Fast 9, you weren't convinced that almost anything can happen in a Fast movie, I don't know what to tell you. Anyone walking out of there saying, man, this film is ridiculous, that's the kid who was told when they were young that Santa Claus wasn't real and then felt the need to go to school and tell everyone else, Santa's not real, y'all. That's like, we know. It's a movie, and it is quite possibly one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen ever on film. They did things in this film that the entire time I'm like, oh my God, y'all don't even give a fucking care. You don't care. You don't care. You're like, fuck it. We are superheroes. All they needed was a flux capacitor to go back in time, and that would have really put the icing on top for this festival of absolute bullshit. But I loved every minute of it, just like I love wrestling, just like I love fucking aliens who are flying spaceships and everything else in this world. That is me, because I'm part of the Fast family. All right, we're gonna hold on before we get to Tom, because Tom has got the look on his face like, I cannot wait to eviscerate this shit. So we're gonna hold all that in. I know Jason Momoa and his cross dress gender bending, the role that Jason Momoa had, the curtsy, the toe painting, yes, the carpet is the same as the drapes or whatever. This dude was on one. Yo, everything that you could imagine happening in a Fast film, believe that shit. Okay. I know, McBain, you've seen nary a Fast film ever.
Look, all I'm going to say, man. Okay, all I'm going to say is this. If your defense of this movie is to say, but it's a movie, then that's not making me want to go see it.
I don't encourage anyone to go see it. Okay, I don't. And there is one review that I saw. There's one review that I saw that said this film is literally for Fast and Furious fans. It's not for anyone else, not for a casual viewer, not for someone who just likes Vin Diesel movies. You literally have to be a fan of the Fast and Furious franchise. Otherwise, you will walk out of there hating this shit. And I concur. But at the theater that I went to at midnight, that shit was packed front to back with people cheering, people clapping, people applauding. You would have thought that they were at a damn street takeover the way that they were reacting. So I think all of us in the theater were fans. But that's it. If you're not a fan of this, I cannot in good conscience tell anyone to go and see this. There's no awards that will be won. No one is getting it. The acting was literally so bad in certain scenes that I was just like, was that an outtake? It was bad. It was almost like they were reading the lines out loud, but like they didn't know the camera was on this chick, Brie Larson. Wow. Oh my God. Watching her act was like watching paint, not dry, but paint run down the side of the wall that you just painted. And you're like, damn it, I'm gonna have to do that whole wall over again. That's how bad her acting was.
So it's a DC movie then, basically.
No. You're giving it too much credit in terms of acting. Because acting in DC movies, they actually tried. This film, Ryan, the dialogue was that of watching, like, after you see a wrestling match and you see that backstage kind of outrage and then walk around. It's kind of like that. It is literally the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers of acting. Wow. I mean, there were some scenes that I'm like, I know that's supposed to be dramatic, but it's just really, really bad. And I don't know what's happening. John Cena, I don't know what movie he was in. He was in an entirely different movie than everyone else.
He was in a movie where he's half Puerto Rican.
Literally. And I don't know if you picked, I'm like, did you all darken John Cena?
Because no.
He's not that dark. I'm like, why does John Cena look darker than he normally is? Maybe it was the lighting. There was a lot. And Anthony, you didn't see this either, did you?
No, I have not seen it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So Liz. Liz. What are your thoughts on Fast X?
it's wildly it's unbelievable. But I think that's what you walk into the theater thinking. It's like, this makes no sense. But to be fair, I think that, let me tell you some of the things. Number one, I am still kind of stunned that Ludacris and Tyrese doesn't do any music with the movie since, you know, they're on, you know, Ludacris is on tour. Anyway, that's a side note. I also am struggling with, I was kind of bummed that John Cena is dead. Spoiler.
Well, but, Liz.
How do you know?
Are you
Liz,
sure?
In the fast world.
How do you know?
Liz, you don't know.
Resurrection is a part of this fucking universe.
Yes.
That's true.
Literally, yeah. How many people have come back from the dead?
Yeah. Oh, no.
That's true.
Oh, no.
John Cena supposedly dying isn't the most shocking of the death related things.
And clearly, I mean, they left this on such a cliffhanger. I'm wondering if I am going to get something else coming from because I was kind of shocked at the end credit scene, and to the point where I was like, okay, didn't we have this whole... But I was like, first of all, when did The Rock ever turn down a check? Name me a time The Rock had to get so angry. I mean, I know that he's supposed to be so angry at Vin Diesel. I'm like, I can imagine that you just threw more money at The Rock, because The Rock's not going to turn down a check.
Yeah, they just have standards. Yeah.
No, it's Jungle Cruise is why he took it.
Yeah, well,
that yeah, and that
the Rock ain't turning down a check. And
The Rock is not turning down a check.
He puts so much Black Adam. That's what it was. He thought he was gonna just take over this franchise, and he didn't get it. He was like, "Oh shit, I better go back to Fast and Furious." That's what happened.
Yeah,
and let's be clear: Fast 5 and Fast 6 and Fast 7 and Fast 8, where he was in the movie, had bigger grosses than Fast 9 or Fast 10. Because he's only snippet in. I mean, he's set up for the sequel.
Yeah.
Because this is the Empire Strikes Back.
It's a try.
Well, sure. But that's some bullshit. Because listen, you need to let me start. Because this is
let's hear Tom.
It's not that that bad. I mean, I know that. Tom, you cannot come into the room.
Not that bad.
I mean, it's not that bad. It's not the greatest for sure. I think 7 is one of my favorite ones, 7 and 8. Mm-hmm. But as a whole, it's, I mean, and this is nothing.
It's a whole mess.
It's,
no, look, Tom, it's not a whole mess. The action, Tom, are you literally saying the action is worse?
We let Tom cook, please. Let the brother cook.
Tokyo Drift is the worst out of all of the franchises. So much so.
I disagree. And here's why. Fast and Furious 3 is still a driving movie.
Okay, that's fair.
This franchise started out as a driving movie. Then is a crook. Paul Walker is a cop, and it's basically Point Break in cars. That's what this started as, and then you get the sequel, and you introduce Tyrese, and fine. Even in the sequel, Too Fast, Too Furious, Tyrese wasn't a clown. Then it's like, let's try to take the franchise in a new direction. Drifting is this thing. Let's go to a shiny place. Let's go to Tokyo. Fine. But you didn't have the original characters. And so it kind of lost its luster. And so you had to bring characters back, which is fine. Still a driving movie. When they turned into secret agents, that's where you lost me. Fast Five is still an enjoyable thing. It's ridiculous. You've got The Rock running around doing impossible shit. Fine. But The Rock, as a person with muscles, is no more doing unbelievable shit than Chris Evans pulling down a goddamn helicopter in Captain America. There are, you know, dragging that fucking, that goddamn vault through the streets loaded with tens of thousands of pounds of cash. That was some bullshit. Swapping that truck out, that vault out in 10 seconds, which you basically show in an overpass, that was some other bullshit. Having that thing fly around and used as a wrecking ball being dragged behind two goddamn chargers is some more bullshit. But it's still about driving and family. And so Walker and blah, blah, blah. All of that's okay. When the fuck did Dominic Toretto, that is a super Italian name, we ain't never see his daddy. When we see the daddy, John Cena is also a son. Now, John Cena is half Italian, so okay. But John Cena's white as hell. Then all of a sudden, fucking Rita Moreno is John Cena's mother.
But I love that story.
Whatever. The kid.
The family story.
Vin Diesel's kid is black as fuck. Where?
I would want to know what the paternity test is like.
Did that come from? Ain't the, Puerto Rican mom. That goddamn black. And Rita Moreno definitely ain't that black.
Oh, she is Brazilian. Yeah, that's true.
But look.
She's Brazilian. And not even dark black Brazilian.
She light-skinned Brazilian.
She light-skinned it. And so, mind you. Okay, let's just go.
Cook, brother, cook.
The first action set piece in this movie is a full-on third act action set piece. It's 20 minutes long, and it involves the bomb from Dark Knight Rises rolling through Rome.
Yes.
Now, this is described as a 10 megaton yield bomb. It's not nuclear. It's just a 10 megaton yield bomb that is literally rolling through the streets of Rome, bashing through stone balustrades and wrecking cars. And there's not a scratch. It is still completely able to receive a cell signal from what looks like a couple of miles away, because Jason Momoa is standing in the thing. No damage. It's a bomb. It doesn't explode. It catches fire. It becomes literally a rolling fireball. And they say, well, the Tiber River is 65 feet deep. Sure. If it had gone all the way to the bottom of the Tiber River, maybe. It hits the water 1 second, and then it blows. It doesn't even get fully below the surface. It doesn't get even 1 inch below the water. 9 motherfuckers died in a 10 kiloton megaton explosion.
Tom, you are missing.
The Tiber River runs through Rome.
This is the Fast and the Furious. Tom, you're missing the fact that the bomb goes off, and the only person to outrun the blast radius is Dominic Toretto in a car that literally he just smashed the whole axle, the frame. That car should not have run, but he outran it.
Get there.
Okay.
Let them
go. I just love American-made cars.
Stupid bullshit. It's like, it's the problem I have with John Wick. If you had Transformers, and if they had come in the beginning of the movie, fine. I give you anything. It's giant anthropomorphic robots. I don't care. It's giant anthropomorphic robots. They can do whatever the fuck. Nobody cares. You established this film on this planet. There are physics and rules. You don't get to say, oh, it's just fantasy. It's not the MCU. You might as well, in all of these movies, in John Wick, in Transformers, in Fast and the Furious, you might as well just have Letitia Wright show up as Shuri and say, I have some special technology for you, and then leave. Then I might buy it. You don't get to pretend that this is the real world when a 10-year-old boy kills 13 mercenaries by throwing giant grenades at them. It's like it's a video game. This motherfucker is a killer, a mass murderer. He's 10.
Yes. Welcome to the family, Tom. It's, what do you not understand about that?
Bullshit. I do. This cast is larger than the Expendables.
Yes.
You are.
Yeah, because everybody comes back. Because
it's including family.
Including Gal Gadot, who died 4 movies ago.
She died horribly, too. And flying out the back of a plane.
She's back. Right. She's back. And you already did the amnesia bullshit. You trying to tell me Gal Gadot did not contact Han?
No, she couldn't.
In 4 years?
She could not, Tom. Why? She was a secret agent on the nuclear sub that we thought was destroyed, but the nuclear sub is back. Tom, the nuclear sub is back.
That's the same sub.
And she, you know, that's the same sub. That's the same sub.
That's the same sub from 8?
It doesn't even need to be the same sub. It doesn't matter.
The sub is back, and Gal Gadot, she was busy driving the sub around the water, like fast into the water.
This is, first of all,
in Antarctica.
You show Jason Momoa, right? Why is Khal Drogo in purple silk palazzo pants? The fuck is going on?
With all the
with librarian glasses, with the little things, and a shark tooth necklace.
Yes.
A friend of mine said, oh, okay, so Jason Momoa is basically just Ghetto Joker. And that is apropos. If you had called this movie Ghetto Joker, I would understand what the movie is supposed to be. I do not understand what this is supposed to be. You've got Jack Reacher as basically the head of, I don't know, Citadel. And
the agency. No, the agency.
Yeah, the agency. And Mr. Nobody, why is Kurt Russell not in this movie? I don't understand.
He's going to be in the next one because you have to stretch it out.
In this movie. And what the fuck happened to Scott Eastwood anyway? He jumped out the fucking car. We know his ass didn't die. He couldn't tell anybody at the agency that John wasn't the guy. That
remember,
the other guy.
They established the fact that the agency had been corrupted by Ames.
But you don't know that until the end. No.
You knew pretty early on that Ames was out to shut shit down. That's why he didn't reach out to Scott Eastwood's character and say, hey, what's going on out there? He reached out to nobody.
He tells Little Miss Nobody that he thinks it's bullshit that this thief. I mean, he put an appropriate level of, you know, these guys are car thieves. They've stolen all this money. They've been useful to us, but it's time to shut it down. That doesn't mean that he's been corrupted. It just means that he's not Kurt Russell. There's a new sheriff.
I just knew he was the bad guy.
Oh, no, of course he's the bad guy because he's 7 feet tall and he looks like fucking Captain America. So, of course he's the bad guy.
He's the bad guy coming in.
That's not my issue. Except that, am I the only person who thought when Jason Momoa said, he's mine? I was like, if these two are lovers, I am going to jump out of the
You know what? At a certain point in time, I thought that may have been the case.
I thought that was the subtext. I really did.
That seemed to be the subtext. And when they introduced them in the yet reshot vault scene from Fast Five, when they reshot that and added Momoa and then reshot it again and then added Ames, I was like, oh, they're connected. They're hooked up.
That's what it seemed like. There was no other reason for Khal Drogo to be mincing and prancing and using this arch ultra femme voice. And listen, if there was some important, because he apparently has daddy issues. Mm-hmm. He loves this guy so much that it's his motivation for revenge, except that he also says his dad's a fucking prick. And
but in the same breath, he says he was a prick, but I loved him. He was my dad.
Sure. So meanwhile, he's threatening to kill the families of 20 of Cypher's agents. And all of these guys are mercs. How many mercs you know got a family to go home to? It's kind of like the thing that is not, they ain't got families, not all 20 of them. I could say if you had told me that her IT guy and then some other person had families and he turned on them.
Somebody has a mom.
Yeah, I mean, look, but Tom, bullshit. like you're
this movie was horrible. I was
Tom,
sitting there.
Tom, you are digging in a mine looking for gold when the sign outside says no gold inside.
No.
The sign on the literal mine says there is no gold in this mine. The mine is bare. And you went in digging for the gold and you're like, y'all, there ain't no gold in this mine.
You're misunderstanding. I went into this movie knowing it was going to be some fuck shit. We in Space was in the last one. I knew. I'm not like a fan like that. I'm not an unabashed fan. I'm a person who likes movies, okay? I really enjoy movies. And so I was hoping to be entertained. I asked my oldest son, Thomas. He liked the movies. I said, hey, Thomas, you want to see Fast 10? He said, no. I said, oh, for real? He said, nah, Dad, I'm kind of over it. And I was like, okay, so you're over it. That's cool. That's fine.
Did you go to the next one?
Expecting a movie to follow any sort of rules. And instead, I got a movie that was basically 20 different trailers strung together. The action sequences were impressive. I'm not saying they aren't. What is your end game, though, Dante, when you blow up a multi-billion dollar infrastructure project to kill one guy? How do you walk away from that? They didn't steal $10 billion from your daddy. They stole whatever they stole. You got that back, but then you hired an entire ass army. So you're burning through cash like a motherfucker. You're burning through cash like Putin invading Ukraine. And now you're going to
steal other people's cash.
Ass goddamn
He stole all their money.
Yes.
No, he stole his dad's money back.
Tom.
He stole everything, but
his point is, his point was not to steal the money back.
No, I understand.
He didn't care about it. His point
but
was.
But what is your end game? You have now killed Dominic Toretto.
He had a mental disability. No.
Remember,
mental hospital.
He didn't say that. They established that. Yes, to your point, Liz, they established that this dude is insane. He knows he didn't kill Dominic Toretto. That is why in the end of the film, he says, you have suffered enough. Now it's time for you to die. He's well aware that Dominic isn't dead. He did
because he wanted to torture him. He wants to blow up the bridge now to kill him because he's going to bury him between an entire goddamn reservoir of water.
Yeah.
So now you've spent $5 billion to kill one guy.
Because he's crazy.
He's crazy.
But now you are the number one terrorist in the world.
Nope, he's not. Remember, he has God's eye, and he has continuously used God's eye to point it back to the Fast family.
How is the Fast family
easier to do a
drunk
strike on him at home?
At a certain point in time, they could have sniped all of them. So it's like we're talking
barbecue,
about, again,
Coronas,
you could have blown them all up at the house while they were eating in the beginning of the film. You really could have. And then what you've got is a 5-minute film. They said to themselves, we need to have an entire movie of this. So no, Anthony, you can't just kill them in the beginning of the damn
movie.
The movie
makes no fucking sense.
Thank you.
No, here's the thing.
No,
why are you defending this shit?
Ryan, nothing has to make sense. Nothing has to make sense. I go and watch this film because it's entertaining. And again, if it is beyond your comprehension to enjoy a film, I understand that you haven't seen them, so I don't know your 2 cents. Your 2 cents is invaluable.
I usually agree with Tom about stuff like this. Usually,
yeah, I'm pretty sure you would.
No, this is a horrible.
I've seen worse
movie.
Blood
and Honey is worse.
No, ooh. I mean, you know what was
shots fired on that one.
True. But at least they followed rules.
They did follow rules, and you know what? It only cost $50,000. This cost $300 million.
That's hilarious.
The latest Hellboy. That was worse.
No, look, on a scale of films that are bad and good, this film shouldn't even go in a category of good or bad because most everything about it is bad if you try to make sense of it. You cannot make sense out of nonsense. That's not the point of the film. You sitting there trying to make sense out of nonsense sounds silly. You cannot make sense out of a film where nothing that's in it is plausible. You cannot argue in favor or against the film where nothing, when I say nothing is plausible, I mean literally nothing that happens in this film is plausible.
Okay,
this film is basically what Vin Diesel has said about these films and the reason that they went in this direction, the reason that they've made these films. When Vin Diesel first came onto the scene, he wanted so badly to be an action star. And he was told by every studio, you don't fit the mold. That is why he has been constantly struggling to build a franchise of his own. He tried it with Triple X. That didn't really take off. He's trying to do it with the the blue eye, white eye, Riddick. He's trying with that. What he said is, I'm going to purchase this franchise and I'm going to become a multi-mega star on my own. Damn you who are telling me I'm not as good looking as Tom Cruise or Brad Pitt, any of them. I'm making movies consistently and I'm making money consistently. Now I'm bringing in my family and they are making money. And I'm going to continue making money for years after years after years.
You bought in Paul Walker's daughter. And so we're going to, you know, continue. Brought in, they even got scenes of Paul Walker. So I'm sure he's gotten, his estate is getting a check.
Yeah.
From
movie. Okay, look, here's I'm going to push back on that premise. You said, Twala, this is a movie that doesn't make sense. It's not plausible in any way. And you can't go into it. Toy Story is a movie that is absolutely implausible. It makes no sense. Live toys that don't even follow their own rules of falling and pretending they're dead toys when somebody walks into the room, except Buzz, who doesn't think he's a toy, but actually acts as though he's a toy just because blah, blah, blah. None of it makes sense. It's still a movie with heart. These are
like Chucky movies. It's like a friendly Chucky movie.
No, but even that, Chucky is the exorcist with a doll. It's a possessed doll. You've got possessed doll movies. So when you get into demons and shit like that, you do throw some things out the window. It doesn't matter because it's a demon. So you can do whatever you want. This movie is just nonsensical. It's not even a matter of it being bad. I don't know if anybody watches CinemaSins. This is one of those movies where I was like, after 37 defucks, I was done. It was just... there was nothing for me to even consider. I'm looking at this action set piece. I'm like, how difficult would it have been? Because I don't even know why the police in Rome, there's clearly a bomb rolling down the streets. You can say what you want that they finger Dominic Toretto. Dominic Toretto tries to slow down the bomb.
Yeah.
Three times. You're telling me these police cars that are chasing him see that there's a big ass bomb. He is trying to stop the bomb. He actually stops the bomb at one point. They couldn't have put a line of Italian police cars in there to divert the bomb somewhere?
No, Tom. You know why? Because if you do that, Tom,
the 20-minute
action piece is now 10 minutes.
And you shouldn't do an action set piece that way.
No. You absolutely should. If you have a movie where you have cars that are parachuting out of a damn plane and landing and driving, where you have a jet that's flying and catches a car with a magnet and flies off into wherever, if you can do any of that, you know what they say, Tom? Here, we're going to have a 20-minute action sequence with a damn near naked your arm. A
Batman flying suit out of a commercial airliner.
Yes.
That part.
Fuck you! No decompression, no whatever. It's just
No, Tom, no, none of that. No, none of that.
John Cena in his checked luggage had a bat plane.
Yes.
Sure did. And it made
he walked through the airport with it, and he made it fly using mini alcohol and managed to somehow get the plane to lower in mid-flight to open up the damn well and let this jet fly out.
Not the rosé.
That's what they do.
So fucking stupid. Yeah. Listen, everybody, if you are inclined to go see Fast 10, go see Sisu instead, or go see Evil Dead Rise. Evil Dead Rise is as bleak as all of the Evil Dead franchise because, you know, evil wins. Okay. So there it is. But it advances the franchise. The effects are good. The lead actor who looks creepy just as a regular human before she's a deadite. Jesus, she's freaky looking. And the sister, the person they cast as the sister, looks a lot like her. I mean, it's actually very good casting. And they take the claustrophobic cabin in the woods thing, and they put it in a decrepit New York apartment. And so they you get a lot of the same vibe, and there's a lot of the same gore, and they do a pretty cool thing with the Book of the Dead, blah blah blah. Bruce Campbell has he's a voice cameo.
So he's not actually in it.
He's not in it. He's,
is that the Sam? Is this still a Sam Raimi?
It's not. No, it's not Sam Raimi. Oh, it's
yeah, that explains it.
Yeah, they. Well, he's in a voice he's in a voice cameo, and he's an executive producer. So his fingerprints are on it, and they do have a lot of visual callbacks to everything that you like about Evil Dead, and the Deadites are still very Evil Dead Deadites with better makeup effects and everything else. Lots of gore. That is a movie that you can enjoy because it delivers on what the franchise promised. When you transform, James Bond had ridiculous gadgets, well, almost from day one. Dr. No, less so. But I mean, ridiculous gadgets soon became a part of the whole thing. And plus, he's a secret agent, and plus there's this whole infrastructure behind him. It's British intelligence, blah, blah, blah. That's not what Fast and Furious was. It is what Fast and Furious became. And now Fast and Furious might as well bring in Transformers. If you had had Transformers in this movie that formed around the human drivers, like it's going to happen in this new Transformer movie, I would be all in.
Have Tyrese left cheek his way into
do that in Fast 12. Do that. Bring in the goddamn Transformers. You are into space.
Look,
bring Bumblebee up in this hole.
This film has G.I. Joe level gadgets.
Bullshit.
And action. See, this bullshit. Film has
a medical laser that turns into a weapon.
Into a weapon.
Shut up!
In a black site base where you have super Antarctica. Security in Antarctica, where you only have doctors watching two of the most dangerous people, allegedly.
And you give Cypher a control panel that allows her with two button touches to reroute the anesthesia. You don't shut the fuck up with that stupid shit. She's a mastermind computer criminal. How about you just, you don't even give her a switch to let her raise her bed. How about you just keep her in goddamn handcuffs and keep her on some goddamn propofol? Fuck this stupid shit. It was absolutely mind-blowing.
The bottom line is, and this is what I can definitely gather, Tom is not a fan.
No.
It doesn't make sense. Tom is right.
I'm fine with it.
It doesn't have to make sense. I think the point of it.
It sounds like they could make it make sense, but they're lazy. It's bad writing. They can't figure out how to do it. They're like, fuck it. Let's just do it.
Yeah. No, Ryan. Exactly. Every James Bond movie, Ryan.
Moonraker, everybody has a crazy person. Even Joker. Joker was insane.
Yeah.
Even Jared Leto in
Tom, no one can argue that Momoa's characters, even the motivations of trying to plot this out over 10 years made sense, because they say it's 10 years later that he's finally enacting this plan, which is stupid. You could have enacted the plan next year if he was really about it.
10 years from 5 10 or 10 years from the last film?
No, 10 years from 5. Yeah. So because 10 years later, he waits to
and
to see, do this
and
plan.
The next one, clearly, you're going to have to hit, it's Hobbs and who's the other one? Hobbs
Shaw.
And
Shaw. Yeah, because Shaw, it'll be Hobbs and Shaw. They're going to do another one. Yes.
Oh, and he's definitely not dead, even though fucking Jack Reacher shot a missile at their engine, but they flew behind a mountain before they blew up. So none of those people are dead.
None of them are dead. They all literally probably jumped out of the plane before it crashed.
Ludacris
landed on a cloud.
They all alive.
Yeah.
He wasn't in the plane. Like, he goes off on his own thing. He takes a car. We don't know where he goes.
No. We're talking about the people on the plane.
For 5 minutes, which is another thing. It's so fucking stupid. Helen Mirren in for 5 minutes. Is she a target? They show her picture on a target, and then she's a target again.
Everyone that's part of the family is a target.
So clearly, the next movie,
including the audience,
is going to be
the real victims.
I mean, clearly, the next movie is going to be him trying to find, trying to kill whoever to protect his mom.
Yeah, they are working on another Hobbs and Shaw film, and that's why you had those two sequences. So they will get together. They'll do their film. In between 11 and 12, because the studio has already greenlit two more films, because they already saw the opening weekend, not just in the U.S. This is a global franchise.
Oh, no, it's $360 million this week.
I mean,
No, trust and believe. They already know. Universal Pictures already 14, know.
15, 16, 17, 18.
Yeah. Look, look, look. This film is going to go. It's going to go international as it did before. They have a winning formula. They have a winning formula that really and truly not a lot of other franchises. You can't name a single franchise that has films 10 years later and is still tracking at making another $1 billion. Please name me any franchise that's got 10 films in that's done that well. Not even James Bond has done that
well. The MCU,
well.
But I mean.
No, I'm talking about singular franchise. Fast and Furious, singular right. franchise. There is no franchise that has, and so far for the Fast franchise, they've only had two subsequent spinoffs. They had the Netflix animated series, which was more silliness. I think the cars did transform in the animated series because it was Dom's nephew and some cyber AI controlled cars. And then they had, of course, Hobbs and Shaw. This film still 10 films later, and it is one of the most successful.
$787 million.
Hey, wait, that means we need Ryan Reynolds.
Hold on, you got the nerve to say that's horrible, but you're liking Fast and okay, no,
it was no. because
we have Ryan Reynolds in this universe.
Oh no, it
we
was
have
bad.
Kevin Hart in this universe. Yeah, because they're in Hobbs and Shaw.
Yeah.
Oh right. Yeah.
Yep.
So we can have like a collaboration between MCU and DCU, immerse entirely in the Fast and Furious.
Hey, look, they're already all in it. When Gal Gadot comes back after dying horribly. When homeboy comes back, Han comes back after his car blowing up.
Letty comes back
being shot and murdered or whatever. Look, the
girl who plays Captain America, Brie, right?
Captain Marvel. She just, this is her first film, isn't it?
I know. I thought she was.
No.
She's a daughter. She's wearing a suit with some bedazzled shoes that she jumps on. I was like,
those were spiky shoes. Their shoes weren't bedazzled. They were fucking murderous. This movie is dumb.
All right. So Tom has had his moment of dumb. What else are we watching?
I'll tell you what I won't be watching.
Yeah, I know what I'll. I won't be paying for.
Wait, I have a question, y'all. But is there a second was there another end credit scene after
Hobbs?
Yeah.
No.
No.
It was just before the credits, and then Hobbs at the.
Yeah, that was it. Okay. Yeah. You're watching. You finished what, Tom?
Severance on Apple TV.
Oh, what is Severance? I saw you in the text thread about that.
Oh wow. It's Twin Peaks. Kind of.
Okay.
The premise is that you work for this mysterious company, and in order, certain employees who work on this special floor have their memories severed, so that when you go to work, you don't know anything of your non-work life. And when you go home, you don't know anything of your work life. So basically, every time you come to work, you have no sense of any passage of time. You're refreshed because you slept in your home, but you don't know anything about your home. You don't know anything about your family. You don't know anything about anybody that you know outside of the office. All you know is what you know in the office. And that's how the thing works. And that is supposedly permanent, but of course, shit goes left. It's a paradox. It's unusual. It's unnerving. There are big surprises in the final episode of the first season, but it leaves on the biggest possible of cliffhangers.
Yeah, but it also is, I hate to say it, but there's comical aspects of this.
Oh, no, it's funny. There's definitely
because the thing about working, you know, you have to pause, and if you work in an office setting, the things that employers try to entice you with, which is like, if you do well, then we'll give you a donut party. And you're like, is this your incentive instead of cash? And so, I mean, it's comical because as ridiculous as it is about like, they want you to focus on just work, and then the kind of work that you do, you think is so very, very important. but what they're doing is like X, 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 O, 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 one, you know, it's little thing. And that's the whole point. It's like your work technically is most of the time is probably not as valuable as the company wants you to believe it is. And their incentives is let's give you a dance honoring. Let's honor you with a dance. Like, I mean, it's just ridiculous.
What is the point of severing? While they're working, are they killing people, and that's why they have to remove their memories?
You don't know. What they are seen doing is completely unknowable to you as a person in the audience. And it is an interesting trope of the show that these rewards seem nonsensical and childish, but you have to remember they don't know anything except the world of their work. When they're at work, they don't have the experience of their previous life. So they have these Chinese finger, you know, the Chinese finger cuffs. That's an award. They have an egg bar, a deviled egg bar. That's a reward.
It's and like then the a big pancake. Thing,
the, a caricature of yourself. Mm. And then the last thing is waffle party. And you think waffle party is just another, like, just benign thing, except you see what the real waffle party is in episode, like, 8 or 9.
Please don't say blue waffle.
No. But you might enjoy it, Ryan. That's all I'll say. So this is a show worth watching. It is very bizarre. And obviously, Ben Stiller has a thing for Patricia Arquette because he has cast her in a new series on Apple Plus, which I don't find as entertaining as Severance. She definitely gives a very odd performance. It's kind of L. Ron Hubbard meets Twin Peaks. Kind of, because the family is
there's that word.
It's real, yeah, boy. But this is an entirely different take on family. Anyway,
all right, Severance. All right,
Severance.
What you watching, Liz?
Actually, I will say that since I usually do the Apple review and Tom has done that for me. There is a new show on Apple it's not new, it's coming back, which is so good, which is about dinosaurs, a prehistoric show on dinosaurs. I'm going to say that if you like animal documentaries or anything like that, Apple TV does a wonderful job. They have one on beasts. They have, the animals at dark, so good. But currently, I'm actually watching something on HBO Max. And it is called White House Plumbers. Okay, or just Max.
Yeah.
White House Plumbers. It is about Watergate. And boy, oh boy, I think it's only supposed to be 4 or 6 episodes. It is so ridiculously hilarious, and it shows how dumb these people were during Watergate, and it is just a glorious show. Highly enjoy it, and that's it.
All right, McBang, you checking anything out?
Not much, just two things. One, Star Wars Visions, on season 2. Okay. Saw the first episode. I really like the animation. I'm going in blind, so I don't know if that's the animation throughout the show.
No,
I'm guessing it's not
different.
No. It's all different. I do like the one-offs.
Each one has its own style.
Yeah.
But yeah, the first episode I really liked. Kind of reminded me of the first episode of the first season where I'm like, wow, this is great. I'm watching that. I'm also watching Dear Mama, Tupac docuseries.
Oh, is that good?
I'm loving it. Liz 2 weeks ago said it's not for people like me. The fuck it ain't. Because I'm you sure did. It is for me. I love me some Pac, okay? Not just his music, just matter of fact. I love me some Pac. I love it. Love it. All you kids today, listen to that music, that crap. It's nothing compared to Tupac. He's the GOAT. But that's what I've been watching. It is a great docuseries. A lot of the stuff I already knew, but I like some stuff I didn't know. It's just how they tell the story. It's good. I strongly suggest watching it.
Yeah, I think one of the Hughes brothers did that, right?
I don't know.
I think one of the Hughes brothers was involved in doing that document, and he, when I saw a conversation with him about it, it was just, yeah, I respect, you know, his filmmaking style, and I could see that being good. What you watching, Dan?
Finished Vision season 2. That was good. It was awesome. No 10 Jedi or 9 Jedi 2.0.
Oh, that's too bad.
I was upset about that one. But just doing with Citadel. I mean, it's not too awful, but I mean, it's entertaining.
It's not too awful.
I was all in the first 4 episodes. And when
it turns out the dude's wife is the other dude's
Yeah, chick, oh my God.
I was like, okay, come on.
Like, oh, wait. I only seen 2 episodes, so No. Look, I don't care, because it wasn't entertaining enough for me to go back and watch it. But you're saying that the wife that he left behind in
Mason's wife
is actually
a Citadel agent,
and she's whose actual wife?
One of the brothers.
No, she was the girlfriend. Her mission was to seduce one of the twins,
the guy
who created the Oskey.
Wow.
And he doesn't know that she was an agent, because his twin brother was the one who uncovered the betrayal. And so he's still in love with this woman, but her memories have been wiped. And unlike...
Wait, I'm sorry. Who has a twin?
The bad guy.
The bad guy.
The big bad guys.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Okay, the twin.
The red-haired dude. The dude who looks like the dude from Game of Thrones.
Him. Yeah. The beards and the...
Yeah.
Yeah, beards and the hair. So one of them is a computer genius, and the other is just muscle. And they're twins, and she was dating the genius, and he fell in love with her, and then everything went to shit, and he doesn't know why everything went to shit, but the twin knew, and the twin uncovered the betrayal, and she got backstopped, and her memories were erased thanks to Icarus. And Priyanka is now really pissed at Icarus because she has her memories back and he doesn't have his memories back.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
It's turning too much into a... I loved it when it was just like spycraft and Manticore is evil. But now this evil bitch is just walking around just like, you know, I'm going to break you. And she ain't broke shit.
Wait, 5 episodes later, is he still strapped to the table trying to get broke?
Well, he almost escaped. anyway, you're not going to watch it. So it's going downhill.
I mean, look, I may.
He said it's going downhill.
It started off good. It started off with promise.
It did. And now it's turned into Fast X. But I got to go. So let's wrap this.
Yes, indeedy. Look, all I'm watching is anime. It's all about One Piece, Hellgate, Demon Slayer. Shit is on fire. Get your country roll on. And I got to get to that right now as we speak. So I got a son in the next room who's like, dude, daddy's texting me. It's Demon Slayer. It's One Piece. So we got to catch up with that. We'll be back in a couple of weeks, because we got Transformers.
Oh, Little Mermaid's next week.
Oh, okay. We gotta do a special, you know, Little Mermaid short. All right, so we'll be
back. And the week after that is Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah,
it's a freight train.
It's freight. Yeah, we got a bunch of stuff about to start dropping.
I cannot wait. Booyah. You know, I'm really annoyed. Like, do you think that this? I'm really, really trying to like hypothetically. Thinking of a hypothetical, do we think that the soundtrack is like, what are we thinking about this soundtrack?
I didn't pay attention to the first soundtrack. I mean, I like the
Little Mermaid.
Little Mermaid. I don't know. I know someone that saw it. Her husband works for Disney. She works at the station, and her husband saw it, her husband took her to see it. But it was like the unfinished thing, and the music, they make changes in the music. But according to her, the changes make sense for the story that they're telling, and their songs aren't too much of a divergence or a break from the original, and that's why you're still able to love the music. And they made the songs fit more for her singing style and all the cast singing style. So they change it in ways that make sense, so that you're not going to piss anyone off who's a fan. right. of the original. So I'm like, okay, sure.
Except this flounder looks like ass. Okay.
All right. Anthony, take us out, good sir.
Good news, everybody.
Big Bang.
The only thing stronger than family is my desire to never see a Fast and Furious movie.
Dr. Liz.
Me familia.
Tom.
Where is my family soon?
Excelsior.
When keeping it real goes wrong.